verses 18 through 20. We spent a lot of time in Isaiah this year, really since, I guess, midsummer, moving our way through. And really, it was not really intended to be that way, but it's just the way the Lord led me. And it's neat to see how he always kind of weaves a thread through different aspects. Last week, you know, we talked about the nature of God. And so to kind of build on that today, I want us to talk about the brokenness that we have when we approach God. The title of our message this morning, you probably see it on the screen, note from your bulletin, but a broken relationship. In this particular passage, it's the first passage, by the way, of the entire book of Isaiah. And so you kind of have to pay attention, because in this first chapter, what we find is God is laying out what's wrong with the nation of Israel. And the theme of this whole first chapter, and for that matter, really the whole book of Isaiah, is a journey through brokenness. Now, the nation of Israel was broken in many different ways. They were broken as a people. They had strayed away originally from what God had intended. They had set up men to rule over God and to rule over them. And so they were broken socially. They had lost the context of the home. They had lost what God wanted to build through them individually. They were broken as individuals as well. And so all of that kind of carries us into this call that God makes starting in this first chapter, and it's all about redemption. In the midst of their brokenness, God had a plan still at play, and he wanted them to be restored and redeemed so that they could fulfill what God wanted them to do. So the whole book of Isaiah really is this. It's about judgment. It's about God giving them the warning. It's about this brokenness that has sort of gotten its way into the center of the nation. Now, what does that mean for you and I today? Listen, the world is still full of brokenness. You may be not broken in your marriage. You may not be broken in your job, but you may be broken in your relationship with God. And if you're broken in your relationship with God, then all of the other things in your life now become questionable, because brokenness with God as a believer then begins to lead distraction in other areas. It's just a matter of time, just like the children of Israel. I think it originally started with them turning their backs on God and being broken in their covenant relationship with God. And then that brokenness spread like a cancer into the other parts of their lives. Now, you may be way down that road this morning. It started with the brokenness in your walk with God as a believer. And now it's beginning to involve your family and your job and life in general. And so as you see this passage this morning, what you're calling for is God to heal and restore your brokenness. Now, it may not be that for you. That brokenness may be something else. But listen, as a believer, God's intention is for us not to live in that broken state. Now, all of that to say, we are always struggling with brokenness to some degree because we're sinners. And when we approach God for that first time and ask him into our hearts to save us of our sins, to forgive us of all of the brokenness that we've allowed the world and the devil to bring into our lives, he forgives us, but we still every day are being repaired in our brokenness. But yet there are times that we sort of deviate from that, and we no longer let God continue that repair work. And so what happens is, it's not that I think we want the brokenness, but we give up on ourselves in the healing and the repairing that God wants to make. And as I said, that may not be you. It may be somebody in your life. Could be a spouse, could be a son or a daughter, could be someone else. But as we look at this morning, I want us with a prayerful and open heart to approach this. Now, we're going to catch this conversation really in mid-sentence. We'll start in verse 18, go down to verse 20, just three quick verses. Then we're going to come back and really focus then on four things this morning. And that is four steps, four ways, four words, you could choose any of those, that we must take, or steps that we need to be aware of in settling our brokenness with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this passage. Thank you really for the fact that for so many different Sundays, we've been able to really just get a glimpse of the book of Isaiah, and here we are again. And we've not gone through it chronologically, we've not gone through it chapter by chapter, but nonetheless, we've been sort of led through it, I believe, by your Holy Spirit. And so yet again, here we are, Father, another biblical truth that I think applies to many today. Maybe not just those of us gathered here, but maybe some watching on our live stream or others who may be listening to this at some point this week. We live in a broken world, and we are recovering from our brokenness every single day. But there may be some of us that have allowed that brokenness to now become a distraction in our walk with you. So I first pray for believers that you would awaken us into that awareness to be able to see just what is broken in our life that we've held back, that we're not letting you resolve and repair and restore. So I pray, open our eyes to see those things, to be restless this morning as we work through this passage together, and these four words now become really burned into our hearts this morning, and we can't get away from them because we know we have things we need to process and deal with. Now, God, I pray for the lost person this morning as well. I mean, they're broken from the sense that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the good news is they're as broken right now as they ever will be, because if they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, then he begins that process of really unbreaking them, restoring them, repairing them, putting them where you want them to be, Father. So I pray this morning as we walk through this passage and we examine these four words, that they now become really, I think, a pathway for them as they come to that conclusion that there are no other solutions to our brokenness but you. And as we get to the end of our service, we'll take some time to lead them into that prayer where maybe they're ready to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, God, as always, bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we dive into this together today. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. As I've said, I'm reading out a New Living Translation today, and we kind of catch this in mid-sentence. This would be something good. Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we went through really the earlier parts of chapter 1. And so I would encourage you, if you weren't there, or maybe if you were, spend some time in chapter 1. Maybe this week, this becomes part of your devotional, your reading time with the Lord. Well, verse 18, we begin, and it says this, "Come now, let's settle this," says the Lord. That's an emphatic statement that God is making. It's built on everything that we've learned in the 17 prior verses. The nation was broken, and rather than running and hiding and trying to put band-aids on it, God now is calling them out and saying, "Come to me and let's settle this." Now, there's a great message just in that we can look for all kinds of other places to be unbroken, to try to recover ourselves, to try to repair ourselves, but they will all fall short outside of him. And there's a coming action there. We have to elicit this. We got to sort of instigate this. We need to answer the call that God is making. My prayer is this morning he's doing that in your heart, believer. He goes on in the middle part of verse 18. "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool." What God is saying is your sins are so great that they're now becoming glaringly obvious to me and others and probably to yourself. And God can restore that. He can forgive that. He can wipe them away as if they never were there, but sometimes the consequences are there. And that's where that brokenness sort of is always a process that we're going through. Now he goes on in verse 19. There's sort of a but here. It's an exception that he's making. All of what he says in verse 18 can come true. However, he gives us the warning in verse 19. "If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat." Now, I don't know that literally the statement there is that we're meant to think of food, but it's a metaphor that God's going to provide in ways that go far beyond our physical needs. And so if only we'll obey him. Now, all of that comes back to the idea that in our brokenness, we are willing to let God repair and restore us, to forgive us of our sins and walk us through that process of repairing that brokenness. Then God will provide. Then verse 20. Now remember, this is a message to the nation that becomes a message for you and I today. They were broken. They were going to face, in literal sense, some starvation to some level through this judgment that was coming. But again, this goes beyond just the physical needs of food. It's the spiritual things as well. Verse 20, he goes on, but if you turn away and refuse to listen. Pause right there. That's where many of us who are in our brokenness are right now. We understand all of this. We understand that we need to go to God. We know that we have something to settle with God. We're in a state of brokenness, and we've chosen to live and wallow in that brokenness. We understand the significance of our sin. That's not a question. We wish we could obey him, but we've not found the strength or the willingness to do it. But yet, what do we do? Verse 20, the first part, we are guilty of turning away and refusing to listen. And then we have the audacity, as the nation of Israel does, we begin to blame God for that. God, you're responsible for that. You're the one that has created a situation where I can't get past this brokenness. You've created a world that's broken me, and we start absolving ourselves of responsibility, and we start blaming God. Well, here's what happens. He tells us again in the latter part of verse 20, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Listen, there is probably not a stronger statement that God makes in all of the book of Isaiah than that. And it pretty much typifies what the nation's going to do. They will choose to turn away and refuse to listen. And so just like it says, they will fall to their enemies, they will suffer, and then they will eventually realize that. Now, I'm not this morning saying anything that there's judgment coming to you or to me, but there are consequences that are coming when we choose to wallow and live in the midst of our brokenness and not allow God to do the restoration and the repairing and the bringing into our lives the plan that he has for us. So there are consequences to that. As what I've said earlier, I want to come back, and there are four words. I don't often do just words like this, but I felt like in this one, it was important to make it simple. I think these are four things that you could write down, put on a sticky note, stick to the mirror in your bathroom, put it on your car dash, put it on the screen of your phone, wherever you can see these, because maybe you need them or someone in your path this week needs these. And they become simple statements that represent a profound decision that we all have to make. And that is to come and work within God's restraints in this world to settle our brokenness. Number one is this. You'll see it on the screen. Very simple. We have to decide. And this is almost that first step of admittance that we're broken. Now, the world would love to tell you that you're either not broken or your brokenness is somebody else's fault. See, it's kind of going back and forth there. Or they want to sell you a product or a cream or a drink that resolve that brokenness. And we all understand that's just one of those things that just we pursue that. We go down that path and then we never find the resolution we're looking for. Why is that? Because the world's empty in that promise. So as we find in the first part of verse 18, we've got to choose to come to the Lord. We've got to decide that. We have to admit the state of our brokenness. We've got to take inventory. I can't think of a better time than the Christmas season. As we celebrate Jesus, we also have to remember he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. We don't have salvation outside of him. And as we get ready to celebrate, the authenticity of that celebration requires for us to deal with where we are with the Lord, our brokenness. It's not like he's going to take all the brokenness away every single time. Sometimes there are scars and there's struggles and there's consequences to the decisions that we've made that have broken us. But yet God is still there loving us and guiding us through that. But we have to decide to come and settle it. That's to open the door, to allow God to begin to invade those areas of our lives and set up the things that he has wanted to set up to heal that brokenness, to help overcome that brokenness. I mean, it's just like a decision to follow Christ. It's a decision. It's not something somebody impresses on you. It's not something that you just follow the crowd in. It's a personal decision that you make, that I'm not happy with my brokenness. I'm not content anymore. I'm struggling in the midst of my brokenness. I've tried all kinds of other solutions, and they always fail, all of them. So we have to decide to not just come and settle it, but also come to terms with he is the only solution. Number two is this. Not only do we need to utilize the word decide, but there's also confession here. This goes back, what I would say is the responsibility part. This is something that we find consistently placed throughout Scripture. When we're wrong in the sight of God, we must admit that. We must confess that. And while God could, in his supernatural ability, choose to forgive you even when you're not asking for that forgiveness, it does begin to become a criteria. God wants us to admit where we are and how much in desperate need we are of him. And if we decide that we want to settle it with him, then we need to begin to take stock of the areas in which we're broken. This is not an adventure through your sin life, okay? But this is coming to terms with understanding that you got to lay these things before God. Whatever those sins, whatever those distractions, whatever those things that are causing you to be broken. Here's what I find. It's a big mushroom at the top, but when you begin to dive deeper into it, typically it's pretty simple at the base. And what I mean by that is when we begin to struggle and discover brokenness in our life, usually there's a root cause to that, that now has created a mushroom of multiple outcomes. And if we go trying to take care of all of those big things or the things at the top, we'll lose sight of really what that core problem is. Sometimes it's insecurity. We're insecure in the world. We're insecure in our walk with the Lord. We don't have the faith and the trust that we need. So the outcome of that is we make stupid decisions. And we make mistakes and we create brokenness because we're unwilling to just, without any problems in doing this, trust God in this. Blindly, just saying, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how you're going to resolve this, but I know you're sovereign and on your throne. When we cannot do that, then we start making decisions for ourselves. We start backup plans, creating safety nets. We start trying to create our own solutions, or we start, as I said earlier, deciding to look at the world and how we resolve this. Listen, not only do we decide, but we have to take responsibility. That's what we mean by confess. Take responsibility for the brokenness that we've allowed into our lives. We are all born sinners. Make no mistake about that. But you are guilty of sin. You can't blame your sinfulness on somebody else. We all have chosen to do that. And so because of that, the brokenness is brought in because of decisions. And the redeemed, the believer, is forgiven of that, but tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to commit a sin and fall into brokenness again. And often it comes back to the fact that we're not dealing with or allowing God to deal with whatever is causing those things in our lives. That's why I say, don't just settle for the simple solutions when we're confessing. Ask God to open your life up and allow you to go deep and figure out what's going on As I said, insecurity, sometimes it's relationships, sometimes it's lack of faith, sometimes it's that we really don't know who Jesus is. And we've grown up in an environment where we've just sort of been ushered into the crowd and we've done the Christian things, but we come to a point and we realize there's no depth to that. There's no substance to it. And so while we've been imitating a believer, we're not really a believer because we've never done that. We've never confessed. We've never asked Christ into our heart. And so we've sort of been living in a mirage all of this time, and we're never feeling that joy that everybody else talks about or that desire to get rid of the brokenness. For us, it's about spinning plates and looking like something that we're really not. We've got to confess. Number three is this. Not only do we need to decide and confess. Now, these last two kind of come together. I'm going to separate them. But you could argue one should come before the other or vice versa. So we'll just go through this, keep it simple. So we've said decide, confess. Number three is this, that is learn. What do we got to learn? Well, we got to learn more about him. We need to learn more about the pattern that he has for our life. We've got to dig deeper and learn about ourselves, learn about where our weaknesses are, what God's given us as gifts, what our talents are, what our struggles are, where our weak points are in our sin, so that we've learned about those things, so we have a knowledge about that. So now we know how God would guide us, the things that he wants to do. God makes no accident in the way he's created us and the plan that he lays out for us. They work together. And so we have to learn about that. We've got to learn not just about those things, about ourselves, but we also need to spend time learning about him. Because the fourth one, you'll get in just a moment as it comes up on the screen. We're not ready to go there, but I want you to understand what it is, the obedience one. We got to obey. But you won't know what to obey if you're not learning what God wants for you. So I think sometimes we get those reversed. Now, I'm making an argument here that I said a moment ago could be made the other way. But I think sometimes we're willing to jump through the door and say, I obey, but we really don't know what we need to obey yet. Because we've not done the study. We've not reflected. We've not allowed God to work in our lives to show us those things. And then what inevitably happens is we start getting frustrated because we don't know where we need to go or what God wants to do. And so we get frustrated, and rather getting frustrated with ourselves, we get frustrated with this whole God thing. And so we then decide to start making our own paths. And then we start breaking things again in our lives. And we say, well, I tried that. I tried to let God to resolve that. But we really didn't go about it the way God wants us to. When I say learn, I mean to immerse yourself into the presence of God. This is not scripture memory. All that is important. Sunday school attendance, that's great, that's important. But what I'm talking about, immerse yourself into the presence of God. This goes beyond just the learning of a scripture verse, and it's more about what God wants to teach you in your heart that now becomes the system, the ways in which he leads you in making the choices and the decisions today and tomorrow. And so it takes patience, but it takes diving deeper. And yeah, the Bible and Sunday school and church are all part of those things, but it's much deeper than that. It's spending time in the presence of God without any request of anything other than just soaking up his presence, enjoying his love for you, learning to operate within his will and in his choices, and learning to know what that feels like so that when you're in the world and you're struggling, it's not just a system of do's and don'ts and laws that you follow. It's now knowing what it means and feels to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I think sometimes we struggle with that. And in our brokenness, we don't want to be patient. We want to take a pill or go real quick through a seminar and get solved or fixed and then get right back out into the world. But this kind of stuff takes time. It's slow. It's important that we're part of a church in this process because without a doubt, God brings people alongside of us who have gone through what we're going through, who probably have the same kind of brokenness in different parts. And God uses them to bring us along. Number four is this, As we've said, not only do we decide and confess, but we also learn. The fourth word, you already know it, is obey. And I'm of the opinion you can't obey what you don't know. And so that's why learning for me comes first. But it could be argued the other way, because we're learning constantly through how we obey God. And so I obey him today to go this direction rather than that direction. And God is teaching me something for the next time. So you're never going to finish learning. And all, really, in all honesty, none of these do you check off and say, well, I've made the decision, I've confessed, done those. It's always going to be kind of messy. It's always sort of happening in all of these in different parts. And in this area, you're still deciding. In that area, you're learning. And in this area, you're obeying, but yet you're still learning. See, it's always, life's not easy. Life's not always simple, I know. But the obedience, for me, becomes the choice to travel the path God has given us. And understanding that as long as I'm staying in the center of his will, then he will continue to help break that brokenness in my life, to restore me. When I break myself, then I know that he's there to show me how to put that together. And by the way, there is nothing we can ever break in our life that is too big for God to fix. It's a matter of letting him do it. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable. And sometimes it doesn't sort of jibe with our plans, but God is always willing to do that. So obedience has to be a part of that. This is, as I'm saying, is that part that helps us to move forward and to keep going and to keep finding that brokenness. And as it says in verse 18, willing to come back and let God settle these things. Now again, as I've said, I don't know where you are this morning. I know there are broken places in my life, and as I've prepared this, God has brought this out, and this is one of those messages that these four things that we've mentioned this morning are things that I'm doing constantly in my life, trying to at least, and struggling at times to do it, but knowing that as we explore God's word and we see the brokenness of the children of Israel, we're not alone in our brokenness. Every single one of us in this room have brokenness. The question is, what do we do about that? Well, God has a plan. We know that. He wants to fix that brokenness. He wants to use us in spite of that brokenness. It comes down to whether or not, as believers, we're willing to do that. Father, thank you this morning for this passage. And really, God, I think it's sort of looking in the mirror at ourselves this morning. And I pray right now for the believer who There may be not just one area that's broke, but they're looking at themselves and they see a whole section of their life that's broken. And maybe for them it's about getting back to what that root cause is. And maybe that's where you're going to guide them in these next weeks, months, years, is a journey into figuring out where does all this begin. Now we're sinful and we know that, and when we're left to our own regard, we'll always choose typically the wrong thing. But in spite of that, you've provided an opportunity for us to be fixed, for our sins to be forgiven and to be given purpose and meaning in our life. And even though we still try to break things in our life, you still choose to use us. As believers, maybe it's part of dealing with why we keep breaking ourselves, but also just coming to the point that we need you. We need you in that section. We need you in our life in this area. Maybe we've not given that to you. And that's why we find so much brokenness in that area. Could be a marriage. Could be a problem in finances. Could be a health issue. Could be a relationship with a loved one, a family member, or a friend. Could be just a struggle with our own sort of reasoning with ourselves, our being settled with what you want to do in our life. There is an abundance of areas, Father, that any one person could be struggling in and creating brokenness. But God, we come confessing, as we've said, that we are broken, making that decision to come to you to settle that brokenness. We want to learn and obey through this. Now, Father, I pray right now for that lost person. I mean, their brokenness is going to stay broke, until they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. My prayer this morning is that you've enlightened them to understand what we keep saying, Jesus is the only answer. And so as I typically do, I want to lead in a prayer. Again, it's not a ritualistic prayer. It's not just a one and done thing. It's something that we pray in our hearts as our own kind of confession. And so if those who are lost are ready to accept Christ this morning, then I would ask they would recite this prayer in their hearts in their own words. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm in desperate need of forgiveness. And I know Jesus came to the cross to be able to provide that forgiveness. So I claim that this morning. But also know that he came so that he could fix my brokenness. And so today I choose to make him both my Savior and my Lord. And I choose to start letting you, Father, heal my brokenness first by forgiving me of my sins. Now, if you've prayed that prayer or something like that, and you believe you've accepted Christ into your heart this morning, then if you're here, we're going to go into a time of commitment. I want to invite you to come down. Just share that with me, and then I'm going to get you connected with somebody who can walk you a little bit more in depth in what that means. If you're at home or listening to this, then encourage you to reach out to us here at the church. Or if you know somebody who is a believer, then tell them that you've accepted Christ this morning. And you need to know what the next step is. Now, Father, for the rest of us as believers, work in our hearts. Help us to be reminded of our need maybe to let you settle this. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?